have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. In today's program, Tom continues his discussion of the New Apostolic Reformation with TBC staff member Mark Dinsmore. Now, along with his guest, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. Last week, Mark Dinsmore, a staff member here and good friend in the Lord, and as I said last week, Mark, I could spend the whole day talking about just what you contribute here, which I greatly appreciate. But last week, we discussed, and we will discuss this week, a movement in the church called the New Apostolic Reformation, which is, maybe some of you haven't heard of it, but it is basically influencing millions of Christians. Millions, and that's no overstatement. And you turn on TBN, you can find most of the leaders, these characters, pick up, I don't know if you can pick it up anywhere, but Charisma Magazine, for example, since their beginning, has been a promoter of these individuals and so on. But the New Apostolic Reformation, and Mark, I'll start off with, then I want you to jump on this. Basically, it's a movement that moves away from the Word of God. Even though they claim to be in the Word of God, they actually transcend, usurp the Word of God through, basically, they claim to hear from God directly. They would call this the Rhema, hearing from God, and that supersedes the written Word of God. And now in this, those who receive or hear from God, as they claim, would be called the new apostles, the new prophets, and what they'd say, well, no, this isn't a thus saith the Lord. Actually, it's more than thus saith the Lord, because in their teachings, in their writings, what they're hearing from God supersedes what's found in the Scriptures. So the problem there, obviously, is there's no way to check these guys out. There's no way to be a Berean, as the Bereans of Acts 17:11, they search the Scriptures daily to see what the Apostle Paul was saying, to see if it was true. So right. They're disarmed. Any believer, true believer who falls into this teaching basically has no recourse to object to the word that these prophets bring forth, or the methodologies, the techniques, the new doctrines that they're being taught. So that's the way they go about things. But Mark, what about their objectives?
Yeah, Tom, you could sum up their overall overriding objective in this phrase, bringing heaven to earth. They seek spiritual awakening. They seek spiritual transformation, but they also seek political, social, and cultural transformation through signs and wonders, through the manifestation of what they believe to be the presence of God on this planet as it is manifested through a new breed of Christians, which they believe is now coming upon the earth. So just in the last few years, last decade, really, this cultic movement has come out of the fringe and is now part and parcel of mainstream Christianity.
Mark, let me take you back to and take our listeners back to the late 1970s, early 1980s. Those who would be called a part of this, although this is, again, back to the 70s, 80s, would be individuals like so-called Bishop Earl Polk and others who claim that Jesus is held in the heavenlies until we restore the earth, and we're going to restore the earth through signs and wonders and all of these things. Now, what was unique about this? Because, Mark, I want our audience to know this isn't just some kind of small group. We talked about the millions that they influence, but I want to point out here how they're connected to other movements. Now,
right.
What if you were going to connect somebody with them and say, oh, no, Tom, these people are so far removed doctrinally, experientially, all of that, that I couldn't see a connection with Calvinists, particularly those who were part of the Reconstruction, Christian Reconstructionism.
Sure.
Well, what was their deal? Their deal was they wanted to restore the earth. Remember, they're either amillennialists or postmillennialists in that case.
Right.
So the goal is very similar to what the New Apostolic Reformation is about, latter rain, manifest sons of God, and so on. But in this, back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, you had an individual named Gary North, or Russisch Rasduni, Gary North's father-in-law, and they promoted the idea that the world could be transformed by applying the law.
Right.
And they said if we do things God's way, according to the law, putting us under the law again, that the world would be transformed, that people would see how fruitful this is and productive, and many people would be drawn to Christ through the application of the law. Now, Gary North, one of the leaders in this movement, and they're still around today, okay, not quite as effective, but their time is coming to come back again, I think, based on what we're seeing happening. So Gary hooked up with Earl Palk. Earl Palk, a charismatic, a Pentecostal, but what Gary North recognized was that these guys have money and the media. You know, back it was the PTL network, the CBN, Pat Robertson's deal, TBN,
right.
Paul and Jan Crouch and so on, and all the people on there were into this to a degree, maybe not according to the likes of North and Rasduni, but here's the point. They tried to combine with these guys to come together in terms of a common goal, and that is to restore the earth so that Jesus could return.
So would you call that a match made in heaven, Tom?
Well, according to them, that would be their word from God according to what they're hearing. So I want our listeners to understand this is no small deal. These people, and as you pointed out, the connection of restoring the earth, we're dealing with this now. We have a booklet called The Temporal Delusion, and it deals with the coming together of these diverse groups. And folks, just to throw one other in there in terms of objective and goal, Mark, would I be wrong to say that Rick Warren and his global peace plan, fixing and solving the problems of the earth, at least in some ways, not is connected to this?
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. So that's a foundation to what we're dealing with. Now, because they claim to hear from God, they come up with new doctrines, new techniques. One of the things that I'm sure has turned off many conservative Christians would be things like Pensacola revival, fire revival, the Toronto blessing, in which you have, well, let's talk about the manifestations there, which are new doctrines, right? I mean, if they say God is doing this, this is a work of the Holy Spirit, it is a doctrine. Talk about those doctrines.
Right. Well, you mentioned the Toronto blessing, Tom, and that was partly burst out of the teaching and ministry of Randy Clark, who took the Holy Laughter teachings of Rodney Howard Brown to the Toronto Airport Vineyard,
mm-hmm.
John and Carol Arnott.
And this was a vineyard, a John Wimber-related organization, although he had some problems with it later. But anyway, go ahead.
Correct. Well, of course, as you know, they had all manner of manifestations, and not just the laughter, but animal sounds, growlings, people crawling and writhing out of their seats on the floor, tumbling and rolling. And they all believe this to be, of course, an outpouring of the
mm-hmm.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And to show how that, well, you'd say, oh, no, people just laughed that off. That wasn't going to go anywhere. No, it went to England, Holy Trinity, Brompton. So this moved on, not just to England, but also to Pensacola, Florida, down to Lakeland, Florida.
Right,
Todd Bentley, and so on. So these things manifest themselves in outrageous ways. So where do we find these doctrinally? They're doctrines. They have to be doctrines because they claim the Holy Spirit led them to this. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. But it's false doctrines. It's false teachings. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to kind of update, we've talked about some of the historic false signs and wonders that have kind of got this movement rolling. But today, it's not uncommon to hear people testifying of manifestations of angels, of holy smoke in the room, of oil dripping from Bibles, from hands, so-called glory dust manifesting on people. Even gemstones from heaven are allegedly dropping in some of these gatherings.
Right. Last week we mentioned a major player in all of this would be C. Peter Wagner. I remember doing an article for the Brain Call called, I think it was the New Strategic Spiritual Warfare stuff. And this is what they claim to develop. And those things, again, doctrines, methodologies, and techniques. For what purpose? Because we're going to take over the world for Christ. So it isn't just a matter of the spiritual anointing on individuals, as we mentioned last week, Joel's armies, working through young people. These are going to be more powerful. Just turning the Bible upside down. You remember the counselors for Rehoboam? Well, the elders told him what to do, what God wanted, but he went to the young people.
Right.
You know? And we know young people can have a love for the Lord and so on, but they lack the maturity to really minister through what God has taught them through the Word. They're not that mature. You know, in some cases, there might be exceptions and so on. However, now we have methodologies and techniques in which to apply. And Mark, you know of these, but I'm going to go through a list of them and come back and explain anyone you want. Spirit mapping, binding territorial spirits, prayer walking, prayer journeys, prayer expeditions, national repentance, deliverance from generational sins, mysticism, contemplative prayer. It's amazing because they begin with the experiential and now it develops quickly into mysticism and occultism and so on.
Right.
But again, they describe them as new things God is doing in order to take over the world, take dominion back from Satan as though we ever lost it. So what about some of these?
Well, Tom, you've named quite a few trends that have gained and lost momentum through the years. The entire realm of the NAR and the charismatic movement of the latter rain is like a giant sticky goo ball that picks up any and all junk that it rolls over. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly attracting new adherents from whatever fad or trend seems exciting. Mm-hmm. Some of the newer things that the latter rain teachers are into, because folks used to be content to come to a revival, so-called revival, and just hear about the exploits and the adventures of the speakers themselves. But beginning in the late 90s and certainly in the last decade, the latest trend is actually schools of supernatural ministry, so-called, where young people can enroll for a week, a month, even a two-year program to learn to do the stuff. They call it learning to do the stuff because they're hungry for the things of God. And a lot of these are sincere young men and women, born-again believers, but they're actively seeking to perform signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm. As though you could practice a gift of the Spirit. In other words, these things are, they come by the Spirit, according to Corinthians, okay? They're the work of the Spirit as the Spirit manifests. It's not something, you know, I love Dave Hunt, I'm referring to. He said, well, if you're going to move along those lines and you're going to practice, the miraculous and the gift of the Spirit, why not try walking on water? Go home and practice that.
Well, Tom, it's almost as ridiculous as that notion. Some of the more bizarre teachings that have come into this movement through one individual, Prophetess Patricia King of Extreme Prophetic in Arizona, her ministry school has even had teams of interns and students visiting morgues all over Phoenix in an attempt to literally raise the dead.
And what's their success rate? I mean, you know, folks, we laugh because on the one hand, it hits us in a funny way. But this is tragic. We're talking about our young people. Mm. Mark, yeah. I'm going to go through a list. We can't talk about all of them, but I want people to be aware of it. Here are some of the organizations that are connected in some fashion with the New Apostolic Reformation. The Elijah List, the International House of Prayer, which is also known as IHOP, although I think they were being sued over using that from the pancake place. But nevertheless, we're talking about, in this particular International House of Prayer, that draws young people to them. Because, again, it's connected with Joel's Army, and parents unwittingly send their children there because they think it's more spiritual, they're going to grow in the faith and so on. No, they're being trapped into a cult, basically.
Right.
At least an organization that has manifestations that you couldn't call anything but occultic.
Exactly.
Bethel Church, Redding, California. Identity Network. Morningstar Ministries. Streams Ministries International. Glory of Zion. City Bible Church, Portland, Oregon. And the Christian International Apostolic Network. Now, here we go back to C. Peter Wagner. His International Coalition of Apostles has a membership of hundreds of those who profess to be apostles manifesting apostolic authority. Now, this is ludicrous, but it's also tragic because people seeking after a spirituality that's not according to the scriptures or being led down a primrose path.
Right. Tom, do you think we should mention some of the individuals involved?
Yes.
Well, one of the unique things about the NAR and the Latter Rain movement is they give equal authority for male and female teachers. So they recognize women as prophets and pastors. But of the men involved, Steve Schultz, Elijah List, Mike Bickle, Bill Johnson of Bethel Church, and Chris Valadin, Cheon, Rick Joyner, Todd Bentley, John Paul Jackson, Chuck Pierce, Frank DiMaggio, Matt Sorger, Randy DeMaine, Bob Jones, not of Bob Jones University, mm-hmm. Bobby Connor, James Gall, Francis Frangipane, Bill Yount, John Belt, Kim Clement, and many others.
Again, folks, these individuals, they're following. You know, I think of the scripture in Acts 20, where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders that after my departing, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and they will draw away disciples after themselves.
Right.
This is in the church, folks.
Exactly.
So, and these people obviously claim to be a part of the body of Christ.
And Tom, we don't want to be accused of any bias, so let's include some of the women, shall we?
Go ahead.
Women prophetesses in the movement would include Patricia King, Charnel Wolverton, Cindy Jacobs, Barbie Breathitt, Paulette Reed, Victorian Boyson, Sandy Freed, Kathy Walters, Kim Hathaway, Catherine Brown, Renee Medeiros, Kathy Pelton, Stacy Campbell, and others. And Tom, I'm almost afraid to say it, but the teachings and manifestations of many of these individuals tantamount to witchcraft.
Look, if we're challenged on this, here's our, it's not even a fallback, it's our position. To the law and the testimony, Isaiah, what is it, 8:20, I think. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. It's not like an individual may miss out on some things and have some things correct. But with regard to these women or these men, show us. Give us chapter and verse. Show us. Don't
right.
give us some experiential, subjective, oh, I heard from God and told me this. If I'm going to support any of this, and this is our encouragement to people who may object to us naming names and bringing these people forward. Look, if the Jews in the synagogue in the Greek city of Berea, these were not believers. These are Jews in the Greek synagogue. Well, the Jewish synagogue in the Greek city of Berea. Again, the book of Acts, Luke, is commending these Jews for listening to what the Apostle Paul had to say. But the real commendation is, then they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. That's not just for me or Mark. This is for everybody who claims to be a believer in Christ. That's the basis for discernment. If we don't have
right.
an understanding of the scriptures, and look, we have different levels of maturity there, but what does it take to say, hey, brother, sister, give me chapter and verse for this so that I can be confident that what you're saying is really true to God, true to the word of God? I've got to be a Berean.
That's right, Tom. The grand irony in all of this is that while the NAR prophets and apostles hold conferences and rallies in which they're free to declare and decree literally whatever they feel like at the moment, whether in an apparent tongue or even plain language, there's practically zero effort to test, confirm, or authenticate by anyone else, either during or after the new revelation or supposed word from the Lord is delivered. They fail to test the spirits, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world.
Right. So the sad part is they are leading millions down a primrose path. And how many of those millions are true believers? You know, that's the thing about being a believer. We can go astray. We can buy into a false teaching, a false doctrine. But a true believer has the Holy Spirit within him. To what? To bring about conviction where we go away from the Word of God.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit is there. But they have to be willing. They have to buy into what the Word of God says, not what so-called prophets and apostles, new prophets and apostles are saying. We need to get back to the prophets that, by God's grace, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put down in the Scriptures
Amen.
What we need to know. I mean, it's God's, we call the Bible, God's manufacturer's, you know, his handbook, giving us instructions as to how we're to go about these things as opposed to ideas and things that men make up.
Well, the tragedy, Tom, is that those who even dare question or try to test the writings or teachings of these men and women are regarded as Jezebel spirits because Jezebel sought to kill the prophets of God.
Jezebel spirits. The issue has always been, down through history, biblical history, church history, and so on, if you don't like what the prophet has to say, you kill the prophet, shoot the prophet, come up with something to put down the prophet so that your teaching can go forth. But again, if we don't have the Word of God to reference them, all discernment is gone.
Right.
There's no basis for discernment, so we're up for grabs with whatever the person teaches.
Thomas, just like the lament of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah when he wrote, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. What will ye do in the end thereof?"
Mark, I want to mention, we've just got a few minutes left. Certainly, much of what we're talking about down through the years, you could search the archives of the Breen Call. Dave Hunt has written about these things. I've written about these things. Some of the things that you put on our newsletter refer to these things. So that's a resource. But I also want to encourage people who are concerned about this, especially if they know people whose children have been gone off to IHOP, to the International House of Prayer, or these other organizations, the schools that you mentioned of prophets and so on. Oh, side note, we mentioned this last week, but it's worth mentioning again. Now, Mark, if they're a prophet, okay, they claim to be prophets, and we now have School of the Prophets and so on, slight difference between the prophets of old and the new prophets in terms of accuracy. What would you say about that?
Right. Well, Bob Jones, who's one of the founding fathers of this movement.
Right. Not the Bob Jones of South Carolina.
Right. The false prophet Bob Jones set forth the idea that you only had to be about 60% accurate, any less than that, I guess. And he said that God would be striking people down left and right like Ananias and Sapphira.
Exactly.
He actually credited God with giving false prophecies through false prophets. He called it shooting blanks.
In terms of discernment here, you would think just on the basis of logic, people would object to this because, as we've stated here the last program, this program, that these individuals are higher in terms of their accuracy, these are new prophets, new apostles, and so on. So they transcend, they basically are above the scriptures. So come on. If they're better than the prophets of old, and the prophets of old were stoned when they got one thing wrong, now you have these new prophets that only need to have a 60% accuracy. I mean, this is incredibly, it's stupid. But sadly, tragically, people are drawn into this. Now, we offer a book, and I can't recommend this book high enough. It's called Wandering Stars by Keith Gibson. The subtitle is Contending for the Faith with the New Apostles and Prophets. Mark, would you give that book some thumbs up?
Oh, there's no question. It is probably the most up-to-date, comprehensive look at the movement, and it does so from an objective, loving point of view.
Without a doubt. Now, folks, here's, as we said, millions and millions are buying into this. There are connections between other movements, from the environmental movement to the Tea Party. I mean, we see it, the new Christian right. And now we have the new Christian left, okay, which is really a new thing. But there it is in spades. So there's a connection between all of these things. Nevertheless, folks, I want to end with this. From God's word, these are our marching orders. Now, I don't see this thing turning around. It is moving toward the development of the kingdom of the Antichrist, the religion of the Antichrist, without a doubt. And we've documented this over and over again. But here is what God's word has to say. These are our marching orders with regard to what we've been talking about. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 24. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." In other words, we don't go about this stridently, okay?
Right.
"Must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves." There's an interesting phrase, because for a true believer, he's just gotten in the way of himself being fruitful and productive
in
the Lord.
His own worst enemy.
Exactly. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance."
Amen.
God gives them repentance. We don't coerce or force or whatever. We just inform. "Give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." Many of these things are doctrines of demons. You can't get away from that.
Yes.
"Out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So that's our prayer. If some of our listeners object to what we've said, be a Berean. Search the scriptures. You know, this isn't just hearing from Mark and me. This is on your shoulders to check these things out, but check them out through the word of God.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. we offer a wide variety of materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. In our next program, Tom will be joined by his guest, Jim McCarthy, author of The Gospel According to Rome and John Calvin Goes to Berkeley, as they discuss discipleship. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us. And we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.